You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Can you briefly talk about what the move-on laws for rough sleepers are?
So the use of the phrase move-on laws, I think, is really misleading in a quite dangerous way. They give the impression that if someone is homeless, begging for change in public, that a police officer will come along and tell them, well, you know, move along. Move along to where? Move along to what? People aren't in public because they are just outdoorsy folks. People are suffering visibly in public because New Zealand is an incredibly unequal society that forces people to have to live in public like this. We don't have the state housing program. We don't provide enough social housing for people to live in. We don't have enough emergency housing, certainly, to house people. We don't have overnight homeless shelters for people to sleep in. We don't have enough social workers to be doing community outreach services. We don't have mental health clinicians or doctors and nurses in hospitals. So when people are being told to move on, what they're being told is vanish. And when they can't vanish, they'll be fined, they'll be arrested, and they'll be sent to prison. That's exactly what these laws will achieve. The brutalization of the poor to zero positive social outcome.
In a statement, you've also said that the government is responsible for homelessness due to the cuts to social housing, welfare, and social services. Can you just give us a sort of a perspective on just how bad these cuts are?
This government has aggressively disinvested from social service. They have been closing open positions for mental health clinicians, for doctors, for nurses. Our schools are overcrowded. Basic infrastructure is crumbling. There are holes in, it seems like, every sidewalk. Wellington Harbour is full of human waste because we can't build water infrastructure anymore in this country. Everything in society has been left abandoned by this government, by previous governments, by four decades of neoliberal economic policy, because the rich don't need to live in the world with the rest of us. The rich don't need to use public hospitals, they go to private hospitals. They don't need to use public schools, they send their children to private schools. The rich don't have to live in the world with us, but they do have to see us. They do have to see the human consequences of the economic policy that this government and previous governments have chosen to pursue. So by doing things like giving tax breaks to commercial landlords, by doing things like opening up new oil and gas exploration licenses to multinational petroleum companies, by continuing to pursue a military alliance with the United States of America at the height of the Gaza genocide, this government has chosen a very clear side. It's governing in the interests of the rich and of the rich alone. The rest of us can rot. And if we rot in public, then a cop will come along, tell us to vanish, and if we can't disappear, they'll send us to prison. Which is the other side of this equation. At the same time as this government and previous governments have disinvested from society, they've invested really heavily in punishment. There's never enough money for houses. There's never enough money for hospitals or schools or doctors or any of the stuff you and I need to live full human dignified lives. But there's infinite money for cops. There's infinite money for prison expansions, for maximum security units, for pepper spray, for handcuffs. There's always money to punish people, but there's never any money to actually help them.
One of the penalties for rough sleeping includes a $2,000 fine if the rough sleepers fail to comply with police orders to relocate. So I want to understand, what exactly is the rationale behind this fine?
They're charging a fine to people for the crime of begging for loose change in public. What do they think is going to happen? And the answer is that, no, it doesn't. Of course it doesn't make sense. This policy was never intended to make sense. This isn't an earnest attempt to fix a social problem. This is a means of assuaging the guilt of the bourgeois voters of Emuera and Epsom, that when they schlep it into the central city to go to Gucci or Prada or any of the other very fine establishments at the bottom of the Queen Street, that then no longer going to have to physically see and be confronted by the immense inequality that their wealth is built upon. So these orders, they're not going to connect people to services. There are no services left anymore. There are no mental health clinicians who are able to take clients on. There are no, the community outreach team I know has been looking to hire people and hasn't been able to do so because we aren't funding that anymore. All of the NGOs who were doing outreach work with New Zealand homeless community, though they've all had their funding cut. This government is, on the one hand, drawing all of the things that you need to make a life, taking all of that stuff away and saying no, and then brutalizing anyone who visibly shows the consequences of that decision. I have a four-year-old kid, and she'll make a huge mess all over the living room. And when we say, you need to clean this up, she's not able to actually deal with the consequences of the decisions that she's made. She crams all of the carnage that she spilled across her house underneath the couch. That's what prisons are going to be doing for us in this country. The government is going to ruin the lives of a increasingly larger and larger section of the working class and then stuff those people into prisons when they act like their lives have been destroyed. And that section of the working class is going to get larger and larger. It's going to expand. It's going to affect more and more of us as these cuts get worse and worse. And soon it'll be someone you know. It'll be people you went to school with. It'll be relatives. It will be you one day. You'll be in a situation. All of us are going to be in this situation.
And what would be some of the medium to long-term consequences of this law on the homeless, as well as the social landscape of Aotearoa?
Well, we are already on track for a massive prison expansion. We're expecting to see upwards of 14,000 people in prison within the next decade. That number is going to be a lot higher because the police have now been told their job is now basically to harass homeless people until they either learn how to become invisible or they accumulate enough of these petty fines and these short-term prison sentences that they end up getting locked up for longer and longer periods in prison. That means that we're going to have to take more money away from things that actually help people's lives be better and dump it into concrete cages that brutalize, humiliate, and permanently damage people we lock up inside of them. Society is bleeding out, it's anemic, and the civil life of this country is going to be sacrificed so that we can give more tax cuts to your landlords, to billionaires, to multinational capitalists and oil companies. The world's going to continue to get worse. We're all going to be poorer. Our basic services and infrastructure are going to continue to decay. There will no doubt be a new Louboutin store opening up soon. And that's what the current plan is for the future of this country. That's not a plan that works very well for me. It's not a plan that works very well for you either.
And the law also gives the police the discretion over providing support to the homeless. What exactly?
I mean, what an insult that this law says, oh, and the cops could also help. We'll help connect people to what services? All of the NGOs who are doing outreach work to homeless communities in this country have had their funding cut by this government. All of the state services have been massively underfunded. There are no doctors, social workers, or mental health clinicians to be providing those services in this place. So the idea that this law will somehow, for the first time, allow homeless people to be connected to services is an embarrassment. It's an acknowledgement that none of this means anything. There are no services left with which these people could be connected. If we want to help people, we have to help people. And if you want to harm people, we pass laws like this one.
And since police now have the authority to choose which rough sleeper gets what support, what does that sort of do to the workload of the police itself?
Yeah, I mean, there are huge numbers of homeless people. There are huge numbers of rough sleepers. There are huge numbers of streeties. Because inequality has gotten much worse in this country over the last decade, and no governments of the right or nominal left have done anything that we would need to do structurally to fix that inequality. So there are more people visibly suffering in public. That means that the cops are going to spend more of their time not doing anything that is meaningfully socially useful. I admit that there are some circumstances in which, yes, having someone around with the authority to intervene can be a very good thing. Is their time spent well walking around Queen Street looking for anyone who has been sitting down for too long? No, I don't think that that's a good thing for society. I don't think that it's useful work to be doing. We don't need to spend more state money harassing homeless people. We need to spend state money building houses for human beings to live in. We've kind of ended up in this backwards world where money and commodities and stock prices, these seem like they are the real substance of society. And the human beings who live here, who think things, who have dreams, who make art and have relations with one another, we're just kind of phantoms. This country increasingly feels like it's not for human beings anymore. And it's why everyone's moving to Melbourne, right? Half of my friends have gone to Melbourne. I'm sure half of your friends have gone to Melbourne too. I think that this is almost a really great country, and I would like to keep living here. But as long as we have these anti-social bourgeois policies aimed at making the rich richer, everyone interesting, everyone fun is going to continue going somewhere else. I don't think that's a good future for Aotearoa.
And lastly, what can governments do to actually meaningfully solve homelessness in Aotearoa?
We need to take money away from rich people who are going to blow it on experimental peptides from China and houses and yachts, and use that money to give people the things that they need. We need to use that money from a capital gains tax and a wealth tax to build state housing and give it to people. And we did do that in this country not that long ago. From 1935 to 1984, homelessness was a marginal phenomena in this country because the government aggressively taxed the rich and used that state revenue to build state housing for human beings to live in, which is what it should be doing. But in the long term, this problem hasn't come about because there were like some policy missteps and this and that committee, and there's a small policy change that can be done to fix this. This problem is a consequence of class inequality, and class inequality is baked into capitalism. You can't have the rich without the poor, and so as long as we allow the rich to exist, they're going to use their wealth to gain control over the democratic process, to lobby, to present their interests to the interests of all of society, and then make life worse for the rest of us. That's why the working class needs to be in control of the wealth that we produce of our labour, so that we can democratically decide what is important. Is it stock prices? I don't think so. It's human beings.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.